Well, this is our small group sign-up Sunday. I want to share with you for a few moments this morning about the importance of why we do small group here at Harvest. And not only seeds, but a seed specifically designed for those of you that have made a decision just in these last few weeks to follow, be a follower of Jesus. And this is a great environment for you to begin to get your seed to grow, that seed of faith that now you're a Christ follower, to get it to grow and begin to take root and have some fruit. And all of those terminologies have meaning here, as you'll get to know as you spend some time with us. All right, so I want to read Hebrews chapter 10, and we're starting at verse 24. It says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the day of Jesus's return." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much in these days, which we know we're closer to your return, just as we see the chaos of the politics and the things going on, the uncertainty even for us as a nation right now. But what we're sure of is, Jesus, you are on your throne. You're in charge today. And Lord, thank you that you're building your church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And in these days, Lord, as your church, the house of God, gathers together, we will continue to be that place of refuge, that place of strength in our community, and Lord, churches all across Canada and their communities. We pray today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, in a few weeks, at least at the end of March, we will be 22 years old as a church. I can hardly believe, go ahead and thank the Lord for 22 years of faithfulness. I can hardly believe that. And then there's some days I entirely believe that. But it's been a great, great journey. And the journey of Harvest really starts long before our launch date in 2003. And I wanted to just take a couple moments and highlight some of that. We do that in step one, which will be happening next, in our next service. If you're new, as Karen told you in the beginning of our service, it's a 1 hour presentation during, our second service that talks about Harvest and how you can be more involved, here. And we share some of this story. But in the late 80s, long, long time ago, Christina and I were living in Brockville, and I was a staff pastor at a church in Brockville as a youth pastor. We had both grown up in church, and we'd been super involved in our churches, serving our whole lives. And now, as a young couple with a young family, we were prepared to serve in full-time ministry. There was a longing in our heart, though, a deep longing, to see God move in a powerful way, to see churches who unashamedly would worship the way we experience today, churches that would worship the Lord with abandonment, where the presence of God would not only be cherished, but we would desire to share it with the unchurched that weren't in the room, you know, feeling the Holy Ghost goosebumps and kind of taking it all in for us. And so often we would be selfish and go, but we need to share this. And there was a longing in our heart for a way to be a church that could share the presence of God with those who didn't know Jesus. A place where we could say it this way, people could taste and see that the Lord was good. And through a series of crazy God moments and Holy Spirit door openings, we came in contact with what today is our mother church in Messina, New Testament Church of Messina. I resigned my staff position, and we began to make the trip over to Messina twice a week, every Sunday morning and every Thursday evening. There was a midweek service, and we would make the trip to do that. I had a part-time job. I was working for the post office they had a subcontract. You could work for the post office delivering flyers. The postal carriers didn't do that, so they got other people to do that. And so I did that for almost a year. There was one sneaky dog that, he drove me nuts because he would hide. He would literally hide in the bushes. It was a different hiding place. And I'm looking for this dog because I would get the flyers in and he would wait until I turned my back and headed for the street before he'd come out of hiding and go into this. Man, I just wanted to take that dog out. I dreamt about how I could just remove that dog from the face of the earth. There's a sneaky dog. I had no idea what the postal workers were dealing with. And so, we did that. And I did some other part-time jobs as well to make ends meet because we were really witnessing with the church we were attending there, New Testament Church. We would load up our Chevy Chevette with two car seats in the back, Nathaniel and Andrew, and Ethan sat in the front with Christina. The way he did that, because that would be illegal, is she was pregnant with Ethan. So two boys in the back and her pregnancy with Ethan. And we would make that trip. It was clear that God was doing something and that our hearts were being attached. And we really did fall in love with that church, which we would still consider our mother church, the church that's sent here. And we just enjoy relationship to this day. And after a year of commuting back and forth, God opened the door for us to move to Messina to be a part of the church that we were loving so much and that we recognized we were planting in. And proximity was going to be important, and God provided that miracle for a visa. And I didn't know, little did we had no idea in those moments that God was actually getting us ready for what would take place just over the river from Messina, New York, in a place called Cornwall, Ontario, Canada. As a token Canadian, as we went, and I had to endure all of the U.S. nonsense. And I couldn't say a lot then because we were outnumbered. I was the only Canadian. I would try to suggest that the World Series wasn't a big deal because the world didn't come to the World Series. I got very offended at that. When you try to suggest that all the great hockey players in the world come from Canada, they would have none of that either. They didn't believe. Anyway, it was difficult time. We did struggle in some of those things. But we'd had a number of prophetic words that had prepared us for that very dramatic season of leaving our country, the denomination and church family that we grew up in. And God was asking me to lay down full-time ministry, which, to be very honest, was a very, very difficult thing for me to do. And then to become a principal of the Christian school and not be involved in ministry as I had prepared for it and known it. And I pushed against that with Jesus really hard. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why, we so clearly were in the will of God, so clearly doing what he wanted, but I was clearly not doing what I felt God had, I was born for, my destiny was. But then we began to understand that he wanted us to be open, specifically wanted me to be open, to learn some things that I hadn't experienced yet about church. And even growing up in church, the Lord knew that if I wasn't kind of baptized into it, and into what we longed for but didn't know how to get to. We were longing for something that we didn't know how to implement, and it wasn't going to be textbook or book reading, which I had immersed myself in, and I read about revivals, and I read about things that were going on, but what God was going to do was place us into a church that was experiencing some things that would be the seed and the DNA of Harvest Christian Fellowship years down the road. And so, as I look back, I understand that growth moment. I didn't understand it in the moment. I want to encourage somebody today that you might be smack dab in the middle of God's will, but feeling agitated and feeling like you're pushing against something and not understanding what's happening. If you'll rest, it'll be a next step and a growth moment in your life. As you just embrace, just rest in it and embrace. God knows what he's doing. Say, God knows what he's doing. We don't always know what he's doing, but we can trust the God who knows what he's doing. So there are a number of things that are in the foundation of Harvest that has allowed us to be the church that we are, that go back to Christina and our journey as God kind of identified our lives that we would be the first seed to go into the ground and then to assemble a team here. So as I talk about this morning, just take a moment to rehearse it. I remember a verse that I'm going to share with you that smacked me, really, like it was an aha moment that I had read but not understood, certainly not experienced. And Pastor Tom Wells, who was the pastor of New Testament Church at the time, was teaching on a Sunday morning, and he referenced in Ephesians, and I was really interested in a church government that was based on the apostles and the prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And I had studied that verse and tried to understand it, and how would this play out? And we hadn't been a part of churches that embraced or understood. We were part of a church that I call a non-profit organization. They didn't believe in prophets, and yet we had already experienced, we saw the strong prophetic ministry that's alive in churches today, and apostolic building ministries, churches that knew how to expand in their region because there was an apostolic anointing that could build the house of God beyond just a local group of believers, but a local group of believers that was growing generationally, leadership that was growing generationally, and then had capacity to impact regions by planting more churches in regions. And so he was unpacking that, and I was taking notes as fast as I could go, but that wasn't what he was speaking on that day. A couple of verses down, that the purpose of a strengthened complement of ministries in the church, that we would embrace all of the ministries, all of what the Holy Spirit had given the church to be, all that the church is called to be in this hour, that it says that you should no longer be children. So this speaks about growing in our faith. Say grow. We want to grow spiritually. We all want to grow. We all want to take next steps. That's why we have, as we're talking about small groups, and we start with seeds and just an environment where you can sit with Murray and Lene that are just so gifted in this area to help new believers understand the walk that we're in and that we're going to grow and help them get to that first milestone of water baptism so that we're not children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And we're living in a day where you can, man, just plug anything into the internet and some Looney Tune who will claim to be an expert in the Bible will talk to you and preach to you about nonsense. It's a wind of doctrine. It just kind of blows here and it blows there, and it doesn't build the house of God. In fact, in some churches, these things divide and they're divisive. And so if we were ever in a day where we need to understand solid doctrine and what the Bible teaches, it's today. Say today. Sometimes people will say, Pastor, I was watching, YouTube, and I think that's great because there are so many great teachings. And I'll say, who are you watching? And I'll follow it up and go, oh, please, please delete that from your search, from your history. Anyway, it's a wind. It's a wind. It is not solid foundational building of the house of God. So we're growing. We're able to discern that because we're held to true doctrine, and that would be the apostolic rule, and that's not what I'm talking about today, but just in this context. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, because a lot of these things are done for money and for gain. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, that we would grow individually to look more like Jesus. But the house of God, the body of Jesus in a community, each local church, the incarnated Christ, Jesus was incarnated, God in the flesh, in his community. And then he multiplied that in the day of Pentecost. And he said, okay, now you're going to be my hands and feet, my body, as it's referenced in the New Testament, Bible word, in your community. And I want your local church to grow and to mature. 22-year-old. We're kind of getting there. We're getting on our way now, and we want to be mature, and we want to be able to represent Jesus. We want to have strong leadership, and we want to have all of these things so we can impact our local church. So we want to individually grow, and that should be happening all the time. And we also want to grow as a church. Somebody say grow. Look like Jesus, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together. And this is where I had my aha moment. From whom the whole body joined and knit together And I don't have time to unpack these two words, but they're just powerful words of just knitting, if you're a knitting person, and just intertwining lives, joining lives in significant ways, being vulnerable and close with one another, having relationship in the house of God. And obviously, we can't have relationship with everybody. We say it this way at Harvest, we want to grow larger and smaller at the same time. And sometimes as we grow larger, we lose the small aspect. And people say, you know, the church is too big. And I'll always say, how big is too big? When do we close the doors and say, well, that's enough people in Cornwall that are saved. Let's just have church with us four and no more. So it's never going to be too big. Somebody say. But we want to grow as a church. And we need joining and knitting, because where people's lives come together, it says, by whatever joint, where your life is significantly connected to another person, name tag Sunday. Reason we do this is so you can know a name, recognize a face, and then get into an environment where you can hear a story. Your story can be heard, their story can be heard. And this joint, this growing relationship, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, that unless you're connected, what you contribute in the house of God is not a spiritual contribution, it's just kind of an organizational contribution. But if we want supernatural contribution, the Holy Spirit flowing through the body of Jesus, hands touching people and seeing them healed, all of the different aspects in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the eye, the hands, and it walks through all these, that we all have a different call. We all have a different purpose. But if you're not connected, it's to no avail. Because your what God has given you has no pipeline to get into another person. You might say, well, Pastor, you know, what if, you know, somebody comes forward and the prayer team, we lay hands, and don't you believe that if we pray that they can be healed? I do. But I believe it's 100-fold, 1,000-fold more effective if you're connected. If you're connected, stay connected. Because when you're connected, there's a supernatural joining in this supernatural thing called the body of Christ. And every joint, every place where there's connection, there's work, Holy Spirit work, and it causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so there's a growth factor. And without this, and all over the body of Christ right now, kind of a buzzword is discipleship, because we are seeing in unprecedented numbers people coming to Jesus. Actually, COVID seemed to kick off, and many, many churches are reporting all across Canada and the U.S. increase in growth. Pastor Frank Satius said, we thought he was coming in March, and we're working on a date to get him here. They baptized another 45 people last week, they did a New Year's Eve service where they brought the three services together in one service. They rented a very large auditorium where over 1,000 people gathered on New Year's Eve to have church, because Viva is busting at the seams, because God's doing a great work. Why? Because it causes the growth of the body, embracing the need for connectiveness. We have when we moved here to Cornwall, and our house on that we presently live in had an office space, which was really great, on the main floor, and it was designed that way and built that way, and I was using it for a while, but I hated to go. I liked being out on the kitchen table and spreading my books out, so I really wasn't using it as an office, and it was just becoming one of those rooms that it's a clutter room. And I had an idea, I think it was 2 years ago, that I would turn it into a walk-in dressing room for Christina. And so I started to go on the IKEA website and to look at all the design options. And I designed the walk-in, and it's been built, and it's pretty awesome. And she deserves it, after all of these years of raising five boys, a room where she can go all by herself and have all of her wardrobe, that maybe it might need an expansion renovation. I'm not sure. We've been talking about that, but she's looking, giving me the look. And so after I designed it, I ordered it. And the truck came, a very large truck, came and backed up to my garage door. And these guys started unloading box after box after box and bags of hardware and all kinds of stuff loading up in my garage for this dressing room. And I'm like, how many dressing rooms are in here? And they go, this is your order, dude. Sign here. And I signed off. And at that moment, I had this aha moment that I'd had years before as another illustration and analogy that many churches are IKEA churches where people that God wants to build into the house of God show up in boxes every Sunday. They're delivered into a large room. They're all there, pieces ready to go together, ready to be knitted, ready to be built together. But we sit in rooms, not getting connected, not getting built. It's like having the dressing room in the garage that never gets built. And we have a load of building material, human lives ready to follow Jesus, but not getting built and connected, not in doing stuff, in being together as the body of Christ and discovering relationship because of our commonality of being Christ followers. I'm calling today, together is better. Would you say it with me? Together is better. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and sincerity of heart. And in Acts, that's how the church grew larger and smaller at the same time. So when we arrived at Messina all those years ago, we discovered what we called it that in those days life groups, and we experienced. We didn't architect it. We didn't say this would be a good idea as as church staff people. But attending our local church, we discovered and experienced the depth of really getting Christina and I getting our lives connected to other people. And beginning to form joints and bonds that were strengthening the church that we were attending. So the how of that was this idea of small groups that we talk about that meet, they can meet weekly, some here meet monthly. We allow the rhythm of that to determine just where your space is and where you're at right now, though we recommend that a weekly meeting accomplishes a lot in our lives. That we wouldn't just sit in rows like we're sitting here, building material in the garage, but we would begin building people's lives together. And so we talk about sitting in circles and small group in living rooms, in people's homes where we can sit in circles and get to know one another. Know a face, know a name, know a story. Life's getting connected. We discovered the truth of James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Only Jesus can forgive our sin. Only Jesus can forgive our sin. So we go to Jesus and we get our sins forgiven. But as we just spent a whole month, and I haven't listened to Karen's word yet, but I heard she knocked it right out of the park last week. Did you enjoy Karen's word? The last installment of freedom? So good. And a month of talking about freedom. So no, God, define freedom. And the way we find freedom from our past is to begin to open our lives and vulnerability to people that we can trust, not just anybody, but people that we can trust. We're a joint. A contact's been made. And that joint and that, it begins to supply in our personal lives and it carries over into the whole church that there's a healing that takes place. And what we discovered was we began to discover healing of our past and areas of our life, even though we were signing up for full-time ministry, even though we found out we were broken. We had things in our lives that hadn't been healed yet. And you know what? Unhealed people hurt other people. And so we needed to get healed. And so that was a season which in a small group setting, and we knew, we said, this is the only way that churches can happen. And so that's why it went in to the foundation of this house. We didn't study it. We experienced it. And then we wanted to model it. And so 18 months leading up to the launch of Harvest, all those years ago, we identified a launch team and we met here. We were still living in Messina. We would drive over, and meet with people from the Cornwall area and region. Some were from Alexandria. It was just amazing things that God was doing in those days as he was gathering a group of people that would become Harvest Christian Fellowship. And we met in all places Norm and Linda's living room. And I don't want to be weird about this, but I'd like to suggest that even what's happening right now, because we kind of discerned the enemy was attacking, and we are raising our warfare understanding. This morning we prayed against anything the enemy might be doing. The enemy doesn't do everything as bad that's happening, but we do want to take our stand, and after having done all stand, put on the full armor of Christ. Amen? It's interesting to me. Even as we're pressing through and coming into this season of breakthrough here at Harvest, that the enemy would try to attack the very ones who open space for us in the city. And so, we began to meet with Norm and Linda, a number of other leaders, some that are here. And then each of them, they gathered a small group. So they were small group leaders. So Christine and I led that launch team, and then they all had people. And so we call it the two wings of a bird, that a church cannot fly without strong corporate presence filled, worship, Holy Spirit inspired times together, but also connecting. And it's like and then you can take flight, and a church can truly become what it needs to be in a region. And so our first service in Cornwall was at the Christian Reformed Church on Pitt Street. And we were already better together because 100% of the church was in small groups. And we continued to show very, very high statistics because we believed, and we do today, and why I'm sharing this, that you also, like living stones, are being built. Say built. You're being built into a spiritual house, that you're a living stone. You're being placed in the house of God. And sometimes we may not like who we're placed beside. And I find the Holy Spirit designs that just perfectly. And so he's helping us work things out in our lives and helping work out as we're building these new connections, because together is better. Let's go back to our verse, and I'm going to bring this to a close. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we confess. We're holding on to our faith today. We're holding on that there's a commonality. We're at church today because we are either seeking to understand who Jesus is, if you're unchurched today and this is all new to you, and we want Harvest makes space for that. We believe in that with every ounce of our being. And that those of us who have embraced that understand that the reason that we have commonality is not because we attend a certain small group and we like seeds, or we like to go to this kind of small group, or we like that Bible study, or I'm going to go to that one. And those things happen here at Harvest. We want you to choose where you want, you know, a small group that might be interesting to you. But the interest, you know, it could be a pickleball small group, and pickleball is why you're gathering, but that's not why you're connected. You're connected because of commonality of the faith that we unswervingly hold on to. Say, I'm holding on to Jesus. For he who is promised is faithful. And that's why we hold on. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Spur one another on. Horse spurring, that works. It's the right word. Moving our lives forward, growing together. Because here's the picture. Many people will talk about their relationship with Jesus, and as I listen, I'm hearing a me and Jesus only. I attend church because that, you know, church is where I get fed, and pastor, I hope you're going to feed me, which, by the way, isn't my job to feed you. Because after you grow and you're not a child being tossed to and fro, and you've come through, you actually learn to feed yourself. Hello, somebody. It's quiet. It's not a pastor's job to feed you. It's my job to teach you how to feed yourself. All right, that's not going anywhere. Here we go. We're growing together, but I hear people say, you know, it's me and Jesus holding on. No, that's not the picture of New Testament Christianity. This is. It's, I got a hold of Jesus and I got a hold of you. I've got a hold of Jesus. We got a hold of each other. If you're not holding on to somebody else in a significant relationship, you are going to be tossed to and fro, and we will not have growth. Are you tracking with me? Very important. Two are better than one because they have a good return. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Number one today, I'm giving you this three quick as we're getting dismissed here. Together is God's plan for you. Together is God's plan for you. Number two, which by the way, whether you were in Norm and Linda's living room, which some were, and were part of that original launch team, or you're brand new, 5 minutes old in Jesus here attending Harvest, all of us, this is not a one and done. This is a continuation of doing life connected and producing as many connections as we possibly can. Number two, together's not always easy. I'm just going to be honest about that. This is not easy. And I wouldn't claim it to be easy. And that's why we submit it. And we're not saying, you know, you're going to hell if you don't go to a small group, which isn't the case. But we're not motivating. We're not going to motivate people that way. I want you to be motivated by the Spirit of God and seeing the Word of God. But this is not easy because it said not giving up meeting together. And it's not talking corporately. It's talking about all the ways we can meet, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. You wouldn't give up on something if it wasn't hard. And so the writer to the Hebrew church was saying, look, don't give up on this. Don't give up on small group. Don't give up on the connections. Don't give up on the importance of this. This is worth contending for and fighting for, but it is opposite to our human nature and our comfortability. And just honestly, it's inconvenient to go out another night of the week. It's just inconvenient. Just saying. It takes work. It's uncomfortable sometimes sitting in circles and being vulnerable. I personally can't stand it. It's my personality. But I don't want to stay in my personality. I want to become and grow up in all things and even Christ. I want to look more like Jesus. And so times where I didn't want to go to small group, and we did it, and it was the last night, and we hear this story so often. It was like the last thing we wanted to do on a Tuesday night was go to small group. And on the way home going, aren't you glad we went to small group? Why? Because we experienced what we were working for together. But the writer of the Hebrews says, don't give up on it, because it would be easy to give up. This is hard. It can be uncomfortable. And it can be messy. I've been hurt in small group. I've been hurt personally. People saying things they shouldn't have said, did things they shouldn't have done. I'm like, I'm not going back into that. I'm not doing that again. Only to find out, of course, I need to. And to be in a small group setting where somebody at the end of the night where we said, let's just pray one for another. And somebody laid hands and began to pray and speak exactly what I was going through and allow that prophetic Spirit of God to minister and go, oh, I'm so glad I came to small group tonight. Because here's the deal. You're going to experience the human dilemma. The human dilemma is this. We're not perfect, but we want everybody else to be. Hello? Is that true or not? We're not perfect, but we want everybody else to act perfect. The human dilemma of doing this together. Don't give up meetings together. Some are in the habit. Some of us need to form a new habit. Maybe you've never been in a small group, and I'm inviting you to become a part of our small group that sign up. You can go online. We gave some instructions last week. It's just the season of doing this, but more than a season, this is something that's in our foundation. This is something that is doctrinal. This is something that if we're going to continue flying in this region, we got out of the habit, guys. When this was really forefront at Harvest, 75% of Sunday morning's attendance was in small group. It's probably about 40 right now. And those are just numbers to help us take the temperature. Because for us, this is taking the temperature. How many are connected? How many are moving forward in these things? And it was COVID, quite frankly. when COVID hit and we closed our small groups, they never grew back to what we were experiencing before. So as your pastor today, I'm just pointing at this. Because number three, together's a choice. It just is. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But, that's a big but. That's a big but. I like big buts. No, forget it. No, I won't go there. It's just, I could tell it needed to be lightened up in here a little bit. It's a choice. And small groups are happening. I want to encourage. And if right today, as you go, Pastor, I next semester, we're going to be ready for this. That's, I would say this. If you can't get into a small group right now, this semester, then in your dream team group, if you're in kids ministry, if you're in production, you're in all of our dream team sub ministry can operate like small groups. Get to know a name that the face that you recognize, invite somebody over to your home, begin to make connections. We got some flight. We got some things we've got to do in this season of time. Because there is an apostolic call in this house, and I'll explain what that is someday. That we are to touch this region in a significant way. And we've got multi-generational leaders. We have older leaders with wisdom. We've got mid-age leaders, and we've got young leaders that they've got some vim and vinegar, and they're ready to take on the world. And with that combination, you might be here this morning going, I'd love to be a small group leader. You have to be in a small group to have a small group. Not at the same time, but we want you to experience small group before you lead one. And you'll work with your small group leader and talk about it, and they'll help you to become the best small group leader you could be next semester. So this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just acknowledging that some of us got out of the habit of this. And I hope I was able just to show you both from foundational and from scripture, this isn't another program. This is life at Harvest Christian Fellowship. We believe this is where the supernatural flow of the Holy Spirit. Why it happens on Sunday is because during the week we were connected. Lord Jesus, just as you speak all across this room, Lord, just by your leading and your guiding, Lord, help us to make a choice. Help us be a church that's connected, that makes the choice to say, together is better today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Why don't you stand, and we're going to sing this, and we're going to dismiss in just a moment.
Victory, oh praise the rise to Christ the King. Your name is victory. Oh praise will rise to Christ. Sing out your name. Your name is victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrected by your Spirit. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is
Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. God, your goodness, your faithfulness, your healing power in our lives, God. We thank you for this word, this reminder to be joined and knit together in the body. God, I pray that you would just inspire each one of us to know what our next step is, what small group to join, God. And I thank you that you will meet us in each of those moments, God. We thank you for the body, for connection, for growth. We thank you for this next season at Harvest and all you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Harvest, we love you. We see you again on Wednesday night for First Wednesday.